Welcome to lesson number 8 of the Revelation course. And as always, I'm encouraging you to just pray and activate some of these things in your life as we go along. Just a reminder, there are PDF notes and of the teachings here. And these always end with some questions for reflection as well. And again, I encourage you to engage with those and really meet the Lord in those. Well, what I'd like to do in today's lesson, I want to really continue. This is a bit of a part B to yesterday's. I want to talk about the measure of revelation. I began yesterday by saying, or I mentioned yesterday, saying that revelation and mystery are not simply binary things, in so much as God, revelation isn't something so much that we have or don't have, but rather revelation is something that God gives in seed form, God gives in part, and that we can grow in. There are people who have different levels of revelation, different levels of revelation concerning the same thing. And of course, nobody except the Lord has all revelation. And it's important that there's a danger for all of us that we get one little piece of what God is doing and we go off and we think, this is it, I've got it. And, you know, we run with those things. Joseph got a revelation from God, and it was a true revelation, except his interpretation of his revelation wasn't accurate. And God had more revelation to give him. And Joseph got himself in trouble when he ran off and, you know, began thinking he'd seen the whole thing. I gave an example in an earlier lesson about how I read a book about a guy who ordered a car by faith. And then I tried to do it and fell flat on my face, so to speak, and, you know, didn't get that car. And there's a part B to that story. It's interesting. A few weeks later, I was in a conference in the south of England. And I remember I'm probably about 18 and 19 at the time. I'm in a conference and a lady came to see me during one of the mid-morning breaks and said, "Young man, do you need a car?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she said, "I've been watching you." And I felt God say I should give you my car. And I thought, this is God. And right then the bell rang to indicate that the meeting was going to carry on, that the break was over. And she said, "Listen, I want to go back into the meeting, but you pray about it. If you want the car, it's that blue one over there." And she pointed through the window into the parking lot. And she said, "If you want the car, meet me here at lunchtime and I'll give you the keys and the papers." And she went back into the meeting. I pretended I was going back into the meeting. What I really did is go to the parking lot and look for the blue car. And the only blue car I could find was a brand new gleaming blue Jaguar. And very expensive British car, luxury car. And I went there, this beautiful car with leather seats and walnut panels. And I just remember gliding my hands over, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." And of course, I met the lady at lunchtime. She said, "Have you prayed about it?" I lied. No, I said, "Yeah, I really need a car." So she took me out to the parking lot, took me to the Jag, took me past the Jag. There was actually a second car in the parking lot that was blue, but it was so dirty I couldn't see the blue. The car the lady gave me that day was about 25 years old. It was a piece of junk. I think she'd had a cat living in the back of it, or chickens or something, and took about a minute to turn the engine over and clouds of smoke would come out the back. And here's my point. I remember the lady giving me the car keys and said, "There's your new car, new car." And I remember going back into the hotel. I remember to this day going into the downstairs bathrooms, we'd say in England, restrooms. And I remember holding the keys up and saying, "Lord, what do you call this?" And straight away, as clear as a bell, the Lord said, "That's the current measure of your revelation." It's like the Lord says, "You've asked me for something and I've met you in the level of your revelation of my provision. That's the current level of faith you're operating on, Graham." And the Lord said, "Rather than get angry or disappointed, increase the measure within you." And when God speaks to us, God will give us revelation in measure. And what he wants us to do is plant that revelation on the inside of us and let it grow. So let me read a few scriptures that will really help you here. Again, I'm reading this. We looked at this verse yesterday. This is New King James, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. So follow this, if you will. Mark 4:24 says, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear will more be given. For whosoever has, to him more will be given. Whosoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away from him. Now, I want you to listen to this in the Classic Amplified. Just listen, if you will. And it's so powerful. Same verse. Well, this is verse 22, actually, in the Amplified. It says, things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. Let me say that again. Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be known. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will determine the measure of virtue and revelation that flows into your life. Let me say that last verse again. The Amplified says, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will determine the measure of literally power and revelation that flows back into your life. One of the verses I want to read today, 1 Kings 3 verse 9. This is Solomon praying. And Solomon prays a great prayer. He said, Lord, give to your servant a hearing heart. Give to your servant a hearing heart. So I want to give you five quick keys today in relation to the measure of revelation. Number one, when God gives us truth, God gives us truth in seed form. God gives us truth that will grow and develop, but it's got to be planted in our inner man to do that. That the truth God gives us has to make its way from our head into our heart in order to germinate, in order to be effective. God gives you revelation not to puff up your ego. God gives you revelation to enlarge the inner place of your man. So key number one, realize that when God gives you revelation, it's in seed form. It needs to be planted. A seed is not to be admired. A seed is not to be analyzed. You can do that, but you're not helping it. A seed is to be planted and watered and nurtured and matured. So the seed is good. One seed could feed the whole earth. And one revelation from God can change a whole mind. But the degree to which one little seed will feed, you know, a bird or a person or a household or a village or a city or a nation determines on what we do with that. So God gives us revelation in seed form. Number two, we need to understand that our response will determine the measure of revelation we receive. Let me say that again. Our response to that initial revelation will determine the measure of revelation that we receive. Again, the Amplified said, the measure of thought and study we give to the truth we hear will determine the measure of revelation we get into our life. So the revelation comes from God. That's God's part. But we get to determine how much we engage on it, how much we think on it, how much we treasure it, how much we will guard it and not allow the birds of the air, so to speak, to steal it away from us. Our response determines the measure of that revelation. Key number three, the process of growth comes through meditation. Now again, we need to let go of this sort of Eastern, we have this idea of meditation sometime, and I know people talk about meditation apps, and it always seems like you've got to sit in a lotus position. Don't do this, please, but you know, and empty your mind, and that's the exact opposite of biblical meditation. God does not want you trying to open yourself to the spirit world and empty your mind. If you do, Satan will come and drop something in there. Absolutely. Rather, biblical meditation is when we take something God has said to us and we say it back to him, we say it to ourselves, we think on it, I know some people get scared by the word imagination, but we allow our sanctified imagination to engage with that verse, that word, that thought, that concept. We think about it. We mull it over. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who meditates in your word day and night. I think in the margin, it literally says like a cow chewing the cud. Yeah, where he thinks. I have a version that says he mumbles by talking to himself. Literally true. It's an interesting thing, but let me ask you this question. Have you ever worried about anything? Have you ever worried about a situation? Now, what usually happens is you have a few basic facts about a situation, and usually you don't have all the facts. And you sit there thinking, you sit there, if I could use the word in a respectful way, fantasizing about these facts and what could go wrong and what they will say and what you will say and what will happen if this and what will happen if that. And you think about it until literally it's like your juices begin to flow, your emotions begin aligning with the very thing you're thinking about. And you can make yourself absolutely miserable, worrying, wondering, mulling over some situation that may not even be real. Yeah. You know, one of the keys I've learned as a pastor in dealing with things is nobody ever knows all the facts, and I don't either. And trying to, you know, people constantly try to write me messages, and I always have the same response. I will write them back and say, thanks for the message. Let's get together and talk. Because I know if they send me a message, it's so easy to misinterpret something and add and read and fill in the blank and think somebody's thinking something they're not. And those things get a lot easier when we're actually face to face. So how do you meditate the Word of God? You worry on the Word of God. You take what God has said, maybe just one verse in that seed form, and think about it and engage with it and imagine, so I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What would that mean in terms of what I'm called to do here? What would it mean in terms of that business? What would it mean in terms of that ministry? You allow that thing to enter and you think about it, you imagine. How do you know when you're really meditating? Well, a bit like the worrying thing, it's like it takes over on autopilot. You begin to feel it. The juices begin to flow in that sense. You begin to get excited about it. You begin to engage your heart with it. Meditating isn't taking a verse and just saying it like a parrot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through, but actually thinking, I really can do everything God calls me to, because Christ, Christos, the anointing is in me, and he gives strength. He gives life to my mortal flesh. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he gives Zoe, life to every part of me. So meditate in it. That was number three. In a way, the measure increases through meditation. The measure of revelation we have, number four, increases through usage. And by that, I mean, there are things we learn when God gives them to us. God will often give us his revelation. And as we use the revelation we have, we will increase in it. The best way to increase your measure of revelation about salvation is to give it away. Is to lead people to Christ. The way to increase your revelation about healing is to believe God for healing for yourself and for others. And as you become a faithful steward of the revelations God has given you, they will increase. Your measure will expand. So number three was we as we meditate, the measure increases. Number four, as we use something, the measure increases. Number five, as we give it away. You know, the only way to keep things in the kingdom of God, the only way truly to keep things is to give them away. And God wants us not to be selfish with the things he shows to us, but rather give them away and not be jealous when other people run with them and do great things with them. Give them away to others and watch what the Lord will do. And as you give away, as you're a faithful steward, when you give something, God will give you more. You know, as a pastor, and sometimes I'll get myself in trouble doing this, but I'm constantly trying to give my ministry away. I'm trying to let other people teach, let other people preach, let other people pray for the sick, let other people do things and create a safe context to do that with. But that doesn't diminish my ministry when I do that. It actually pushes me up higher, and God will entrust me with more. As you give away what you have in every realm, God will give you more. So let me end with this today, but a great prayer to pray as well, when you know you've got a measure of revelation, is to say, Lord, show me that current measure of revelation. Show me the boundaries or the limits of the revelation I have. Don't fall into the trap of thinking because you understand some things about this that you understand everything about this. Because when you think you understand everything about this revelation, you actually block the Spirit of God from bringing fresh revelation to bear on your life there. Good. So I encourage you to go through those questions and confessions in that PDF sheet. You know, engage, do some thinking about those, and I will be back tomorrow with the next lesson. Bye for now.